sheet there this morning. I've been having my Sunday school class up in the A-frame, and because Pastor being gone, I thought we'll just combine it here today in the Sunday school. Next week, those of you that are in my class, I believe we will have class up in the A-frame again. Seth Yorty is going to teach Sunday school next Sunday, and so you can all be here, and those in my class can be up there. And we're trying to, that class is about spiritual growth, and so we're trying to grow in the Lord, and one way to do that is there's several ways. One of the things we've got to do is we've got to be in God's Word on a daily basis. The Word of God says that in 1 Peter, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Now, does that mean, okay, we're babies in Christ, so we need the milk of the Word to grow. So when a baby grows up, they quit eating. Is that what happens? No, we never quit eating, do we? Well, we should never quit reading God's Word. As adults, we need the Word of God. And hopefully, as adults, we're maturing in Christ. We're growing in the Lord. So now we can take in the meat of the Word. Okay? And so, this morning's lesson here is on manna gathering. And we can sort of liken this to the Word of God. Let's look at Exodus 16, and let's read verses 11 down through. Exodus 16, 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And then interesting that they were murmuring. You know, I really kind of tie this together. Think about this. Do you think we'd murmur as much if we were walking with the Lord daily in His Word? There's a lot of murmuring sometimes, isn't there? Verse 13, And it came to pass at evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And the host there is the host of people. Okay, so you understand what that is. Because I didn't at one point. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, But on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out in his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Father, help us to draw some parallels from this passage of scripture here to our daily manna, the word of God. And Father, we just ask for you to bless this. Father, may we learn the importance of reading our Bibles, studying our Bibles, meditating upon our Bibles, and memorizing the Bible so that we might do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make our way prosperous and we shall have good success in the spiritual realm. We thank you and praise you, Father, for what you will accomplish here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It says in Exodus 16:35, And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now, what is the land of Canaan a representation of? A little help here this morning, Daniel. The promised land. And what's the promised land for you and I as Christians? Heaven, right? So, do you think we ought to partake of God's word until we get there? Okay, so I think we can draw that parallel, if you will, there, okay? And so they did this. Now, I got seven things down here, and let's go over them this morning. First of all, manna was to be gathered by every man. We see that in Exodus 16:16. It says, again, this is a thing that the Lord hath commanded, gather it of it every man according to his eating. So, you and I, every single one of us that name the name of Jesus Christ, ought to take time to read God's word. Every single one, from the youngest up to the oldest. Now, I understand when I say that, there's some children that can't read yet. But they can hear. And so, as parents, we can read it to them, even from as little on up, all the way, you know, until they can read on their own. But anyway, we ought to all partake of what God has provided. Bread from heaven, we find in John 6:48-51. Jesus said, "Now ye are clean." I'm sorry, this is a different verse. John 15:3 says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." And then in verse 7 it says, "If ye abide," that's the idea of remain. Okay? "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you," that word abide there, the idea to be a constant influence. By the way, is this word a constant influence upon your life? It should be. We need to order our lives according to what the scriptures say. And I'm going to try to illustrate that as we get down to one of the other points. But if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Now, that's an interesting verse, isn't it? You should ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You mean we could just pray about anything, and God will just do it for us? Is that what that verse is teaching us? We know that's not right. I mean, we'd be asking for all kinds of things. And the Bible says in James that we ask amiss, that we might consume it upon our loss. And so we have these lusts, these desires, but God's not just going to fulfill every desire that we have. Listen to what 1 John 5:14 says. And this is a confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. By the way, if we're abiding in God's Word, and we want the Word of God to influence our life and our thinking and so forth, then we can ask. Do we always ask according to our will? How are we supposed to ask? What's your will? In fact, I learned this some months ago, is this, that when I pray, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. What do You want me to do today? For instance, who do You want me to encourage? Even as I prayed yesterday morning, Father, who would You like me to call or encourage or contact today? And as I prayed and as I read my Bible, the Lord laid some people on my heart and I contacted them. And I trust God that He showed me who I should encourage and who I should contact. Who do You want me to pray for? Who do You want me to call if You want me to call somebody? And so again, as we are in God's Word and we're abiding in Him and His words abide in us, and we align our will with His will, then God will greatly use us and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in those areas. What do you want me to have today? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? Do you know that stores capitalize on you and your desires? I once heard he's a pastor and also a college teacher, say this: before you make any big purchase, you ought to pray about it and wait a little bit. That's good advice, isn't it? Because often when you go in a store and you think, oh wow, I would really like to have that. Oh, it's on sale. I better get it before it goes off sale, right? Do you ever get those invitations where you get this great deal, but you've got to decide before a certain amount of time? Why do they do that? They don't want you to think about it. They don't want you to pray about it either, that's for sure. So, Lord, what do you want me to have? And what do you want me to be today? Those are good prayer requests. That is allowing God and God the Holy Spirit to guide our lives, and that's how we ought to do it. And of course, it ought to align with God's Word. And so you see the importance of being in the Word of God on a daily basis. Each believer must feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ by means of His Word. All right. So every man, every person. Number two, manna was to be gathered daily. Exodus 16:21. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. Okay? I know you're probably thinking, well, Pastor Terry, do I really need to read every day? Well, what do you think? Think that's a good thing to do? I believe it is. I don't have time to read the Word of God every day. Then you know what we would say? Then you're too busy doing something else. We should take time to read God's Word every single day on a daily basis. Now, this is not a perfect parallel, because I really believe we ought to read the Word of God on Sunday too. You know, they didn't gather it on the Sabbath day because they were under the old Sabbath law. And God had them gather twice as much on the day before, and then they didn't have to gather on the Sabbath. Now, I don't believe that's teaching us that on a Sunday morning we don't need to read our Bibles. You may not read as much. You may not take as much time to study. You know that you're going to come to church and be fed. And by the way, that's a good practice, isn't it, to come to church? It's a good practice to come to Sunday school. One of the things we're teaching in the class is this: we need to be in the Word of God every day. We need to learn to sing proper songs. We need to learn to pray. And we do need to learn to make church a priority. One of the things I did was I made a paper, a list of things to do that I believe would help us to grow. And I had them fill it out. I said, that's just for you. I don't want to see it. But what I want to do then is, after near the end of class, I want them to fill a paper out similar to that. And they would be able to look at that first paper and look at the second paper, and hopefully there's some changes on there and they've actually grown. Maybe they've grown in their Bible reading. Maybe as a habit they only read the Bible 3 times a week. Maybe by the end of the class they're reading the Bible 6 times a week. And instead of just coming to church Sunday morning, now they're coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That's growth, isn't it? Now, I understand. Don't misunderstand me. There's no place in the Bible that says we have to attend church on a Wednesday night. But there is a place in the Bible that says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but we're to do that so much the more as we see the day approaching. By the way, can you see the day approaching? I think we can. We don't know. We don't know when the rapture will take place. We know that it could happen at any time. And we're supposed to be watching and waiting. So we're to be busy while we're waiting on the coming of the Lord. Now, he could come at any time, but we don't know when that is going to be. Anyway, they gather daily. Rarely would one go through a day without eating, but often, as Christian believers, we go through the day without opening God's Word. And that's not good. We need to do it on a daily basis. May I encourage you to take time, every one of you, to be daily in the Word of God. Okay? Now, we'll get down to that, and the next step we'll understand. It may not have to be an hour a day. Not saying that. Now illustrate something how God used a passage of Scripture in my heart yesterday. Okay? All right, so number 2, we're to gather daily. John Bunyan wrote this, either the book, and you've heard this statement before, either the book will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from the book. By the way, if you're living a life of sin, you don't want to pick this book up, do you? That's what that means. But if you can convince yourself that I need to be in God's Word on a daily basis, and you're in God's Word on a daily basis, guess what? I really believe reading the Bible will help keep you from sinning less if you are doing it properly. You're thinking about what you're reading and so forth, and let it apply to your life. Okay? So, sin will keep you from the Bible. The Bible will help keep you from sin. So that's why it's important. It's very, very important that we're in God's Word. Number 3, manna was to be gathered in the morning. Does that mean we have to read in the morning? No, it doesn't mean that. Is reading in the morning a good habit? Yes, it is. You know, it's not just a good idea to eat breakfast in the morning. That's just not a fancy cliche. And I have the box of cereal that I eat from. They have it on the box about the importance of eating breakfast and so forth. Well, I looked it up. See what the experts say about this. How we start the day is so important. For years, nutrition experts have said that a healthy breakfast is a key to the start of the day. Not only do we think and perform better on the job, they tell us it supports our well-being in many other ways. In fact, if you eat breakfast, it gets your metabolism going. I read that if we don't eat breakfast, it tells your body, well, you can slow down. There's nothing to digest. And so they are saying that if you eat breakfast, it can help you with losing weight. And by the way, if you eat breakfast and drink coffee, right, Brother Jeff? You'll be more alert. Now, you don't need the coffee, but you do need to eat. And breakfast is important, and it'll help get your day started off on the right foot, if you will. Reading God's Word in the morning will help get your day off in the right start as well. Okay? Do you agree with that? Very important. Now, you say, but I'm a night person. I'm not a morning person. I get up in the morning, and in 5 minutes, I have to be in the car and off to work. Anybody like that? Don't raise your hand. I was like that years ago. I didn't like to get up in the morning. And now, as I get older, I can't sleep as well, and I wake up anyway. I don't even need an alarm clock. Besides, Beth is my alarm clock sometimes, too. But anyway, so you might not have a lot of time in the morning. Let me encourage you to maybe just in the morning then, if that's your, just try to get up another 5 or 10 minutes earlier and try and at least get time to look at your Bible and read a couple verses and think about what you're going to read. And again, I'll get to that, just not there yet. All right. So, you see what I have. How vital to begin the day with God. If the manna were not gathered early, it would be too late later because the manna would melt. Our days tend to get very busy, and the opportunities to meet with God can easily melt away. And that is so true. Because there are some times, even in my life, where I've come here and I thought, well, I better check my email and I'll read my Bible as soon as I check some things out and get a few things done. You know, that's a mistake. Because I end up getting busy and then I have to remind myself later, oh, Pastor Terry, you weren't in the Bible yet. You've got to do it. Because, by the way, you're teaching and preaching others to do it. You better do it. So I get in and I read my Bible. But you know what? Most of the times, it's the first thing to do in the morning. Read my Bible, have a time of prayer, and give some thought to what I've read. And then I can think about what I read throughout the day. And Sunday mornings, I do very well with that. Usually during the week, I do very well with that. Usually Sunday mornings, I will get up, I will get my shower, and I will make my cup of coffee, and I will sit down and read my Bible. I'll pray and read my Bible, and then I'll eat breakfast and finish getting ready to come to church. I did that this morning. I can tell you I've done that the past so many months in a Sunday morning, and that's not a brag. I'm just saying that I'm encouraging you. And I can't encourage you if I'm not doing it. I'm encouraging you to try to read your Bible in the morning to get a good start to your day. Now, number four, manna was to be gathered fresh and not stored up. Yesterday's manna was vital, but I need a new supply today. If I try to keep today's manna for tomorrow, it will breed worms. I need a fresh encounter with God every day. And again, that is so true. We need a... by the way, how much of God's Word do we forget? Most of it. A lot of times we're not careful. We need to be in every single day, and we need to get a fresh supply every day. And what I'm encouraging my Sunday school class to do, we read through Colossians for 2 weeks, and now we read through 1 Thessalonians for 2 weeks. And I've been doing that with them, along with them. In fact, yesterday, Saturday, I wanted to read Colossians, I wanted to read Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And I think I got all the way through those three books. I don't think I read 2nd Thessalonians yesterday, but I read Philippians and Colossians and 1st Thessalonians. And just reread it, and see what is in there. Now, number five. The quality of manna gathered was sufficient. Some will gather less, for instance, like a mother with a house full of children, and maybe even a newborn who's very demanding. They're not going to have time to spend hours and hours every day reading God's Word. They might only be able to get a little bit in. Okay? Some will gather more. But God will make sure that what you gather is sufficient. Now, this is where I want to give you an illustration. Wrong paper. Yesterday, I was reading in the book of Philippians. And a verse of scripture that I thought, wow, this is a good verse of scripture. I ought to write this down and I ought to give some thought to it. It is Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Is that a good verse? Is that one good to meditate upon? Verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, I wrote it down yesterday, and then I wrote it down again this morning. Let nothing be done through what it is. So reminded this, she more important than all things was, am I my brother's keeper? I think so. I'm not to look on my own things, but I ought to also look on the things of others. So I ought to care about other people, not just about myself. But isn't that how we as human beings so much are like? Who's the most important person? Well, the world says, and I still remember working with a guy, and he would often say this, oh, you got to look out for number one. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. What he was saying is, you got to look out for yourself. That's not what God's Word teaches. If Jesus were looking out for himself, do you think he would have died and went to the cross? No, and in Philippians chapter 2 there, he gives that illustration then. Paul gives the illustration that, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He was obedient even unto the death of the cross. Here's Jesus. He's sacrificing himself for mankind. And Paul is teaching us here that we're to esteem others better than ourselves. We're not to look just about ourselves, but we're to look upon what others. And so as I read that, and as I had prayed just before reading, Lord, who do you want me to encourage? Who do you want me to be a help and a blessing to? God laid people on my heart and on my life. Do you see how that works? Now suppose I would have only read Philippians chapter 2. And by the way, how many verses is that? You know, if we took the time to read that right now, we could probably read Philippians chapter 2 in 5 minutes or less. So let's not use the excuse, I'm too busy to read God's Word. We can read, we can take the time to maybe jot down a verse of Scripture to meditate throughout the day. So Lord, help. I don't be humble, but also the practice and not official will, but Lord. It's all they need. Now let's go to 2 Peter 1, a familiar verse. Peter, a servant of obtained life faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you, knowledge of God, things that pertain unto glory and virtue. Expressions pertain to the seekers of this verse. These two verses of Scripture, the divine Jesus is divine. I be a partner. Seekers of all this. For the last part here, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. By the way, there's a lot of corruption in the world. There's a lot of lust. The human nature is to get things, happiness, materialism, what pleases us. Okay, that's according to Colossians. It says we're to set our affections on things above. What's an affection? It's a desire, a love. And not on things of this world. What's that? That's the corruption of the world. What is the world? What's their affection? New Corvette? New boat? Traveling and having fun, living for the day. Do you see that? And so God is telling us here through Peter that if we're partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Virtue. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Where do we get these things? Right here. So if you want to add virtue, it's going to come, that virtue, that divine nature, that divine character is going to come through being according to and living according to the Word of God. Add to that virtue knowledge. By the way, there's a lot of knowledge out there, isn't there? Do we want the world's knowledge? Or do we want God's knowledge? By the way, it's something that is I often think about is this. God is infinite in knowledge. You know, you and I can't get that, can we? Because we are finite. We're limited and God is unlimited. Think about that for a minute. That'll blow your mind. God is unlimited in power. He's unlimited in knowledge. Where can we go, the Bible says in Psalm 139, and escape God? I like what one preacher I just was listening to. The universe is so immense that they can't measure it in miles. Do you know how they measure the universe? Light years. Do you know how far light travels per second? 186,000 miles per second. Thank you, Randy, because I didn't remember that. But so they measure the universe in light years, not light seconds. You computing that? Do you know how vast the universe is? The mind can't even hardly comprehend that. You know, I often stated, you know, they have this Hubble telescope and they can see stuff out there light years away. And I guess there's an end to the universe. I don't know. But if God's infinite, could He make an infinite universe? Wow. That's the God you and I serve. And so He's a God of infinite knowledge. And so I want to add virtue to my life. I want to add the knowledge of God. And there's only one way I'm going to get that. I've got to read His quick word, which is means alive. This book is not a dead book. This is a book that's living. This is a word of God. This is an amazing book. If you'll read it, you'll understand and you'll learn some amazing things about God. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound in you, let's put it down. Well, let's just add that in there. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, by the way, if you're not reading the Bible, you're going to lack these things. Okay? But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Okay? I hope this lesson is helping you. But the manna provided total nourishment. It's what we need. And the last thing I have here today, and we need to get this done. We're almost out of time. I've down manna was good. It was sweet. Exodus 16:32 and says, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, which I don't know what that's like. White. That sounds like bread, white bread, not good for you. Wheat bread's better. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Is honey sweet? Is honey good for you? They say it is. I like to take, by the way, thank you. Where's old Brother Butch and Pat? I took a loaf of that rye bread. Even after Friday night being at the Sweetheart Banquet and all that we had to eat, guess what I did when I got home? I got a piece of rye bread out. Put some butter on it. No, did I toast it? Well, anyway, you know what I did Saturday morning? Got some more rye bread out. Put it in the toaster. Put some butter on it and put some honey on it. Boy, that's good. I eat it because I like it, but also I put honey on it because I'm told it's good for you. But it's also sweet. By the way, God's manna was good. It sustained them. If we parallel this to our own lives, listen, God's word is good. It's sweet. It will nourish you. It will help you. If these things be in you, you'll not be unfruitful. But if you lack these things, guess what? It's not good. And so we need to be in God's word on a regular basis. May we never lose the taste for God's manna, for God's word. In Numbers 21, verse 5, it says, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. The word light there means worthless, despicable. May we never look at God's word as worthless and despicable. But instead, let's turn to our last passage. Let's go to Psalm 19. Another familiar passage, verse 7. Psalm 19:7. Oh, and there's so many verses of Scripture about itself. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Here it says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect. Converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The words of the Lord were found, and I did eat them, and they were the rejoicing, the joy and rejoicing of my heart, Jeremiah says. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. God's word is good. God's word is sweet. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Are you a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, a Lord of God? And in keeping of them there is great reward. Listen. If I keep this, is there reward in that? You mean if I don't worry about myself and I esteem others better than myself? If I do that, I'm going to lose some money. I'm going to lose some time. Right? What does God say? In the keeping of them, there's great reward. Listen, this life is not all there is. We're not to live just for this life. We're to live for the next life. And so, you see the very, very importance of this. Real quickly, Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 6:11 says, give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread. John 6:31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. By the way, this is bread from heaven. This is God's word. And I'll finish with this verse for you to think about. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Wow. Think about that. The hidden manna? Has God got more for us? He does, doesn't he? Boy, I listened to a couple good messages this past week. Paul said this, I have a desire. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I don't know what to do. To abide is more needful for you, but I've got a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far. And as they said in English, that word far means far, far better. Think about that. He's given to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Listen, I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to learn so much more. We've got a lot to look forward to. Let's be in God's word, because we need it. And I hope you'll take this and give some more thought to it. Let's bow our heads for